Recently, in the 2019-20 year, for the first time, the AG wanted us to introduce the process of reconciliations at provincial level before they do the audit. So when they have select their samples and the indicators that they're going to audit, provinces have to again reconcile their data. And what we have done is we've developed a tool, and this tool is called RIPDA, the Rapid Internal Performance Audit, which then allows the districts to conduct internal assessments across all their facilities every quarter and to capture the results where there have been discrepancies and to put in place an improvement plan for the data capturing at facility level. Because, honourable members, data is never 100% perfect. So the Asian member who said this, and this is what I always dispute with them, they work in a very accounting system way where you can work with accurate figures. When you work with in a real-life context as a health facility, there will be errors. Always data will have a margin of error and it will never be 100% correct. But it should be reliable within certain margins and accurate within certain margins. And we have ongoing discussions where we've really managed to educate the AG themselves over time as to how our systems work and how they must interpret it. And I think it's quite an important point to mention. So we have trained the provinces to use this RIPDA so that there can be minimization of errors. But data capturers are sometimes full, they also get ill, they don't come to work, data doesn't get captured, or even where there are sufficient numbers.
In the interest of time, if you can wind up on the information.
Okay, thank you, Gideon. No, because this is our report. I just wanted to say that so there will always be a margin of error with data capturing because human beings will always err because to err is human. Thank you, DM.
So we need the CFO, but before the CFO comes in, there was an issue about the relationship between Ideal Clinic and the report of the Office of Health Standard and Compliance. What is the linkage? What is the relationship? If before Ian comes in, I don't know whether you are going to deal with that or Marawan, I don't know. Can you quickly deal with that so that we give the CFO to deal with the financial issues?
Yeah. DM, can I come in?
Yeah, I'll be very brief because we are running out of time, yes?
Yeah, I'll be very brief, DM. The relationship between the Ideal Clinic and the Office of Health Standard Compliance is that having observed the discrepancies, because the other one is an internal mechanism and OHSC is external, so we have now realigned the measurement tools so that those discrepancies in terms of measuring areas does not continue. So from this financial year, having observed exactly what the Honourable Member has raised, we have now realigned them, and now from now onwards, OHSC has accepted our measuring tool as the baseline status determination assessment. Thank you very much, DM.
All right, can we get a CFO? There are a lot of financial issues, CFO.
Thank you, DM, and thank you, Chase. The first one I want to address is the issue of the sweeping comment by the AG that there's no regard for financial statement compliance legislation. Unfortunately, I can't put words in the AG's mouth, but if I was in that meeting, I would have contested that. Just to say that we've, in this financial year, dealt with more than 250 requests for information from the AG. We dealt with in excess of communications of 50, and not one of them are outstanding. So we really need to see exactly where the sweeping comments come from. We've complied to every emergency procurement process that the National Treasury has put there. We have reported to AG, we've reported to the National Treasury on each and every deviation. So I really want to put that out. The second issue is the underspend of 422 million. Yes, it's a reduction from the previous financial year of a million rand. But keep in mind that many of the budget allocations are earmarked.
Ian, I'm sure, Ian, I'm sure you wanted to say a reduction from a billion. You said a million.
Sorry, I said, I meant a billion now. From a billion to 422 million. And but the point I want to make is that many of these is earmarked funds, and many of these funds are specifically appropriated, which means as soon as you use those funds for anything else than that what it was appropriated for, you risk the further irregular expenditure just because you've not complied to the law to its full extent. The issue of program 3 and 4 underspent. Remember the COVID-19 preparations began way before the emergency was declared, in February to be exact. And by that time, we were forced to move budgets into the programs of communicable diseases and uncommunicable diseases. And the reason we had to do that was the system would not allow you to commit funds if there's no budget against those funds. So we had to do that in the nature of this, to be able to put out orders and to be able to put out commitments against those budgets. The issue of irregular expenditure, yes, we all agree that we want to contain it, we want to reduce it, and we want to have consequence management. But we're also in this position where implementing agents, when they transgress, we have to take the brunt of irregular expenditure. And in this financial year in particular, the Development Bank of Africa and some of the KUGA colleagues, there was supply matters raised by the auditors of those entities, and by default, those irregular expenditures then come onto our books. And to deal with the irregular expenditure in terms of the regular framework, you need to do a proper determination of what is the reason for the irregular expenditure, what action should be taken, either disciplinary or criminal or any other actions that need to be taken in terms of the framework. It is not necessarily so that we do not know what the conditional grant positions are of provinces. But having said that, we can only look at the audited numbers when they are audited. And in this report that I presented or that was circulated, it's very clear that we've indicated per conditional grant, per province, what was the expenditure. So it's not necessarily true that we do not know what the expenditure is. And if the report is maybe too busy, Michael, you use it to make it simpler to understand and take you through each and every conditional grant by province with the recommended action that we have determined. The audit report by the Provincial Department of Health, the media status that it's impossible for me and for the National Department of Health to be responsible for all the outcomes of provinces. They've got their own HODs, they've got their own CFOs, they've got their own 9 supply chain managers, 9 financial managers that are involved. We have intervened and assisted provinces, and we can't do everything that is in their reports. We can target certain matters. And to give you an example, Mpumalanga had issued on contingent liabilities. We assisted them with the contingent liability. That was solved. They weren't qualified for this financial year for the first time in 10 years or 12 years. And the same with Limpopo, to be exact. Yes, some provinces do regress. Free State regressed. Eastern Cape regressed. But they need to put some efforts in place to sustain their own audit outcomes. And this is the one APP target that I really feel you need to relook and shouldn't be part of the National Department of Health APP. Probably part of the operational reports. I think I've dealt to some extent on the irregular expenditure, and I did say in my presentation on audit outcomes that this is one of the notes that we have to analyse properly and to see exactly how to deal with it going forward. I also want to address the issue of the budget cuts, and I think the DG and the DM has touched on it. We have lost 3.5 billion only on NDOH over the MTF period. We have gone backwards in terms of the compensation ceilings that Treasury has put down. We're actually at numbers that we were at that 14-15 financial year, which means there will have to be an enormous right-sizing and relook at the total compensation envelope and also the capacity that is available within the department. So the budget cuts are going to be with us for the foreseeable future. If you look at the the current projections by Treasury, we're looking at 6%, 9%, and 12% over the MTF. And if you equate that only to the equitable share positions of provinces, that is in excess of 150 billion, and I did present this at a previous sitting of this committee. The accruals plan, unfortunately, I mean, we've as part of our intervention with Treasury put out the accruals plan. Unfortunately, the budget cuts are definitely going to impact on this plan and the ability for provinces to deal with accruals. The issue of performance versus budget, and let me just, you know, add my 2 cents worth of that. It's just to say that the budget of NDOH, it is largely not discretional. The DM has mentioned that compensation is 1.6%, direct conditional grants is 90%, indirect is 3%. The balance has to go for earmarked funds, the transfers to NGOs, condoms for instance, and all our recurring costs such as municipal fees, telephone costs, etc. So the fiscal space that we have within this budget to achieve all those performance targets gets reduced year on year. I mean, I think this is an important point that we have to look at. On the mental health matter, admittedly we had to reduce those budgets initially because the uptake was extremely low. We have now come to a point where provinces claim regularly on these grants, and that's why we were able to spend 99% of the budget on this. You know, in terms of performance of that, I think our performance colleagues will be able to better respond to that. The issue of unqualified reports, unqualified on our performance indicators, as I said, we had two unqualified performance programs were unqualified, one was qualified, and that again is still an improvement of the last financial year. DM, I think, oh yeah, just the one last point, and I'm not sure if the chair of the health committee is still online, and I do apologize if I come across of blowing my own horn on the issue of unqualified reports, but we do have a long-standing record of unqualified reports for 9 years running. The matter that the AG addressed was a material adjustment on the management fees on work in progress. Our difficulty was that in the previous financial year we had to adjust it to include it. This year we had to adjust to exclude it. And this is why I made the point to say that we need to sit down on a technical matter and agree with the AG and the National Treasury exactly how to deal with this. Because unfortunately, as it stands now, the department has to comply in the main to what the view of the AG was, and probably we didn't have enough time to explore the technicality of this. But if the status quo was maintained from the previous year's understanding, then this would not have been a material adjustment in the current financial year. Thank you, DM and Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. That concludes our responses. Thank you. Back to you.
Thank you, DM. And thank you to the DG and the CFO. Dr. Dlomo, are you still here? Maybe he lost his connection. Let me then take the opportunity to thank all members, staff members, DM, the department, for availing your time and for such a very good interaction within this meeting. I want to wish the department, the DM and the minister well in this enormous task that you are faced with in the country. And I want to assure you, DM, that you can always rely on the members of this two committees for any assistance, and also thank you for being there when members need you, and the minister. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair and members.
Thank you,
Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.